What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
How far would you go in pursuit of your dreams? Would you be brave enough to take the leap, even if it took you well out of your comfort zone? That's exactly what today's guest has done. When I first met Emily Wright, she was completely bald, having lost all her hair to stress-induced alopecia. Financial pressures meant Emily had to return to work when her baby was just 3 weeks old. Sadly, this wasn't enough, and her home was repossessed just 5 months later. The stress was so much that her hair fell out. Determined not to give up, the Tisley mom poured everything into launching her own Body Shop at Home franchise. Just 2 years on, she has worked to create a six-figure turnover for her business. She's had another baby and, as a single mom, has taken the brave step to move away from friends and family to Brighton so her children can grow up near the seaside. They can now see the sea from their home, and her hair has grown back.
I went through the emotions of accepting that and accepting that I could potentially be bald for the rest of my life. You know, I've really had to be really thorough, go through a really thorough spiritual awakening, really. And it's only through doing that I've had more success and I've, you know, started to have a happy life. It's also our job as human beings to uplift others and to inspire others and to love them even when they can't love themselves. And after a while of just taking one small step every single day, you'll look back over your shoulder and you won't believe how far you've come. And I know that because that's what happened with us.
Welcome back to Brummie Mummies. My name is Zoe Chamberlain. I'm a journalist, author and mum. I launched Brummie Mummies as a community for families to help people to connect both online and in person. My goal is to share with you stories from the most inspiring mums and dads to help you find out how they juggle family life and everything that comes with it. In this podcast, Emily talked to me about the pressures of motherhood, why running an online business is a real lifesaver for single parents, and why she wants to show her daughters that a woman's worth is a lot more than just her hair. So, hi, Emily. It's great to have you on the podcast. I've been so excited to talk to you today.
Hi, Zoe. I'm really excited to be talking with you too.
So, it's been just over a year since we last saw you. And wow, your life has changed so much in the last 12 months.
So much has happened.
So, I wondered if you could go back to around the time when Antonio was born. What was life like there? Where were you living? What was going on for you?
It was really challenging, really, really challenging. Obviously, a new single mom. Just had an emergency C-section. And it was just me and Antonia living in a small flat. Money was really difficult. Money, you know, financially, it was really difficult. And I had to start working again at 3 weeks, 3 weeks after having Antonia. And it was just really, it was really hard actually. I remember not long after we came back from the hospital, sat at the top of the stairs, and I just remember sobbing, just absolutely crying my heart out because I'd had a credit card bill that I couldn't pay and I didn't know how I was going to pay. And it was really hard. It was really tough.
You say you were working from 3 weeks, when she was 3 weeks old. I mean, that's really tough. What were you doing?
I've got a Body Shop at Home business. So I was selling products online to my friends and family. So it didn't take up too much time. But as you know yourself, being a mum, those first few weeks are really difficult.
And you'd only just set that up, hadn't you? Because were you doing before you had Antonia?
I was head of HR for a social care company. So quite different.
Yeah, and quite a big job.
Yeah, a very, very high-powered job, actually. And I don't think I would be able to have continued doing that with a baby. I think that would have been really challenging.
So that's why you decided to make the break and launch a business by yourself as a single mom
with
a newborn.
Yeah, that's right. And it was a really good decision for us, actually. it was a brave decision, but it was a really good decision for us. And it's worked out really well, obviously.
So tell me more about the financial pressures. What happened with your house? You were, that was actually repossessed, wasn't it?
Yeah, the house was repossessed. We had a notice put on our door that we had 2 weeks to find somewhere to live. Otherwise, they were going to come into the house, take everything that was in there and lock the house up, and we would have lost everything. And to me at the time, that was just absolutely devastating because I'd worked us up from nothing. I had to leave my partner when I was pregnant, and I left with not much more than a bag of clothes. And, you know, money had been really tight throughout the pregnancy, but I'd managed to make us this beautiful little home, like our little nest. And to feel that that was going to be taken away from us, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what my options were. I was still recovering from my C-section. I had a small baby, and it was just, it was an absolutely devastating blow, to be honest.
How old was Antonia at that point?
6 months old.
That's just unthinkable.
Yeah, it was very hard. It was very hard. But we did find somewhere, and we moved into a little house in Tyseley. And we just tried to make the most of it, really. Tried to see the positives. But we weren't really very happy where we were. So we made the changes. And as you know now, we've moved to Brighton.
So well, we'll come on to that in a minute. That's absolutely incredible what you've done from there. So obviously, the financial pressures and the pressures of being a single mom running your own business, that started to have an impact on your health, didn't it? Tell me about how that did affect your health and well-being.
I didn't know at the time, but I probably had an autoimmune disease lingering in the background for a while. I've got diagnosed complex post-traumatic stress disorder from traumas and domestic abuse and stuff like that in my past. And I think having the baby, and it just kind of brought up a lot of things, and losing the home, it just brought up a lot of things. And my PTSD started to play up, started to have flashbacks. And it was a really, really difficult time, to be honest. And trying, you know, to be my best, to be a good leader to my team and my business. And you know, I'm not somebody that will just take time off, really. I'm not somebody that will just quit. I'm not somebody... I can be quite hard on myself in some senses because I feel like I can achieve a lot. And I want to be able to achieve a lot. And I do sometimes put that pressure on myself. And I think being a single mom and having the onus really on me to do everything, I just didn't feel that I could fail. I just had to carry on going. And I started to lose my hair. So when Antonia was a year old, I lost a big patch on my head, probably about 3 inches by 3 inches, and I noticed that had all gone in one day. That was quite bad, and that continued to fall out over a 2 week period, and then by 6 weeks I was completely bald.
Gosh, yeah. And what went through your mind when you started to lose your hair?
At first it was a huge shock. My background's modelling, so I used to do modelling, so my appearance and stuff like that, it was a big part of my identity, and I'd always had such long, luscious hair, and that was a big part of who I was, I thought. So it was quite challenging to have to sort of re-find my identity and re-find myself, and without my hair being a part of that, and I had to look a little bit deeper, really, and it became quite spiritual. It was actually quite a beautiful journey, amazingly, because, you know, I really had to challenge myself about who I thought I was as a person and who I wanted to be. And it just seemed silly when I was thinking about it to have my hair as a big part of my identity. It just seemed a little bit silly, really. And with having a daughter, the last thing I wanted was for our story to be that I crumbled because I lost my hair. I didn't want her to grow up thinking that you know, that's part of who a woman is. And, you know, like without our beauty and without our socially conformed looks, You know, because we're kind of told in many ways what a woman should be, and there's lots of messages out there about what we should be as a woman and what we shouldn't be and who we should be. And I just wanted to show her that we are more than what we look like. We are more than our hair. We are more than our skin. We are more than, you know, we are the person that we are inside. And, that, you know, I wanted to show her that strength. And I do believe that I have. I believe I have.
Absolutely you have. Yeah. And that's such an important message. I mean, how important do you think it is for children, I mean, especially girls, to have empowering role models?
I think it's really important. And I think it's important for boys as well, because there's a lot of talk in the media at the moment about toxic masculinity. And for young boys growing up and seeing that, you know, they need to see empowered role models as well. But I think, you know, it's I've got girls, so I look at it from that point of view. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure about how we should look and how we should act. And I think it's really, really important to have powerful or empowered women in their lives, and so that they've got those role models, so that they believe they can do anything they want to, anything they put their mind to. And that's how I'm bringing up my girls. So
and that feeling that you can pick yourself up and carry on when something awful happens as well.
Of course, you have to. You have to keep trying. You can't let things beat you.
Yes. Since then, you've gone on to thrive in your business. You've had a second baby and you've moved your little family to go and live by the beach in Brighton. This is such a brave move on your own. I mean, why did you decide to do it on your own and kind of move away from any support network you might have in Birmingham and just make that bold step?
There's a few things, really. Obviously, we've spoken about how difficult it was with Antonia when Antonia was born. And when I fell pregnant with Arabella, I just realised that, you know, now was the time to make any changes that I wanted to make. And it had been quite a lifetime dream for me to have my children grow up by the seaside. And I just thought to myself, if I don't do this now, when am I going to do it? Because the longer that we were to stay where we were, there'd be more excuses, that, you know, when they start school or they've got best friends. Or I thought, if I don't do this now, when is it going to happen? So I was 6 months pregnant and I took us on a little mini break to Brighton. And it was just supposed to be a little mini break for a couple of days. We stayed at the marina, which was beautiful. And on the second day, I'd just fallen in love with the place. I fell in love with the way it made me feel. I just felt so happy and relaxed, and the sound of the sea, and it was sunny. It was lovely. On the third day of our trip, we were supposed to be going home. But for some reason, like, I had an intuition that we should stay, that we should book another night. So we booked another night with an Airbnb. So I took us around 20 different property management companies, and within an hour I had a phone call from the property management company to go and view a property, which was just really exciting. And it felt like everything was falling into place. I'm quite a spiritual person. I'm quite into my Reiki and my manifestation and listening to your intuition and following that and feeling guided, you know, taking guided action. And this just all felt really exciting. This all just felt now like this is where we're supposed to be and what's supposed to happen. So it took us on a walk from the marina across the seafront, pushing my pram, 6 months pregnant with my baby. And I was just falling more and more in love with the place. And I was just feeling like, you know, we need to do this. We need to be here. The sound of the waves, the sound of the ocean, it's really very good, isn't it? It's very good for like your heart and your soul and your body, really, your physical and your mental well-being. It's like medicine. And I was feeling quite energized from it. And I was feeling like, you know, if we can move here, this is going to be really good, not only for the girls and their upbringing, but this is going to be good for me and my health. There's going to be a lot of health benefits for this. and obviously suffering with the PTSD as I do, and I had quite bad postnatal depression after Antonia. And I just thought, you know, this is how I'm going to overcome it. If I can move us here, I'm not going to be feeling like this. I'm not going to have those problems. So we continued on our little walk from the marina to the local village. And by this point, I was just absolutely set in my mind that this is where we needed to be. So we did the viewing, and Antonia was absolutely taken with the place straight away. She did a 10-minute celebration dance around the property when we came to view it. So she was absolutely smitten straight away. And I said to the agent, okay, let's do this. Let's go and sign the paperwork. Let's do it. So I went down to the offices and I'd got my bank card in my hand ready to put down my deposit. And they said, no, don't worry. They said, if you want it, it's yours. You don't have to put a holding deposit. If you want it, it's yours. And that was just crazy.
So that's just like it was meant to be.
It was all meant to be. It was meant to be. The people in the office, they fell in love with my daughter. You know, they were really, really championing us. And, you know, being so close to London, we would have been in competition with a lot of the London renters or people that wanted to rent from London. So this was just blowing my mind a little bit in a really good way. I was feeling like, wow, this is supposed to happen. So it took us 10 days to get the paperwork sorted. So we came back to Birmingham, took us 10 days to get the paperwork sorted. And by the 10th day, we were here. We'd hired the moving van and we were here and we had
That's
a Brighton
incredible.
Address. Yeah.
So and did you have any second turnaround. Thoughts during that 10-day period?
I didn't allow myself to. I just thought, you know, if I overthink this, then I'm going to start feeling anxious and I'm going to give myself excuses. And that would be a fear-based decision. And I didn't want to make a fear-based decision because I kept thinking about how happy I was when I was there, how happy Antonia was and what sort of life that they'd be able to have. And it was just a fairy tale. It was something I had to grab with both hands whilst I had the opportunity. So I did. And 10 days later, we were here.
So what's life like now for you and the girls? And how long have you been there?
So we've been here 5 months now. It's just so incredible to be able to wake up in the morning and say to my daughter, do you want to go to the seaside?
Yes.
That's just so incredible. And, you know, from where we lived before, it would be a good 3-hour journey to the seaside. You can't just pop to the seaside for an hour and pop back. My daughter loves it. You just have to mention the word seaside to her and she runs to the door and gets her coat and her shoes. She's ready to go.
Who can blame her?
She loves it. It's a really nice lifestyle.
And so how old is Arabella now?
Arabella was 12 weeks old yesterday.
So she's
still a little baby.
And you look and seem so well. I'm guessing you've not suffered at all after having Arabella.
Not with anything postnatally, no. It was actually a really enjoyable birth, which was crazy. After having such a traumatic birth with Antonia, I wasn't aware that you could have a lovely birth. But the epidural was fantastic. And I was sat at 7 centimetres dilated, eating my dinner and voice noting my friends. And then I had a nap.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Had a little nap, woke up and did the final part of the labour and she was here. It was fantastic.
And have you started to build a support network around you now in Brighton? Have you made friends? And
yeah, it's so welcoming here. Being part of a small village, there's a real community feel to it. So I've made friends with my neighbours and made friends with other people in the village. And it's so beautiful. And, you know, I really do enjoy that community side of it. You know, people really take care of the area. There's like organised litter picks and you know, people really look after it and they look after each other and they're very welcoming and accepting.
And you've done so well to do that because obviously, you've done all of this in the middle of lockdowns and the pandemic. It's not easy to get out and meet people.
Online communities are really useful, but we were also in tier 2 for a long time. So whilst a lot of the country was in tier three and tier four, we'd kind of escaped that for a long time up until the beginning of this year, I think, or around Christmas time, we changed to more of a lockdown. We still had a little bit of freedom to be able to converse with each other until then. So
you've managed to keep working throughout this and keep doing the same job despite being such a long way from where you started out. Tell me how that works.
I do a lot of my work and my sales online, so it doesn't really matter where you are in the UK, which is fantastic. And had I been in a different situation, this might not have been possible for us. Because, you know, if I was in a different line of work, I might not have been able to just pick up a move shop and, you know, move 150 miles across the country. But we were able to do that. You can literally do it from anywhere. So that was, it's been really useful. It's been an absolute godsend. And
how successful is your business now, having only started, what was it about, how long ago did you start it? When did you launch your own business?
It's just coming up to 2 years now. Last calendar year, we did six figures, me and my team. We sold over 100,000 worth of products.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I was really proud of them. It was a massive achievement. That was something that I'd got my heart set on us doing, and we did it. And that was just insane to be, you know, to have hit six figures and to have done it mostly breastfeeding in my pajamas. It just seemed a little bit bizarre because, you know, you have this idea in your mind, don't you, of what a successful businessman or successful businesswoman looks like. And to me, it wasn't somebody breastfeeding in their pajamas, but, you know, here we are.
It worked.
Yes.
And I know you talk a lot about having that positive mindset that's got you to where you are now, but
yeah,
you
definitely
also feel that's important with your team, don't you, and everybody that you interact with.
Yeah, of course. I've been through some really challenging times in my life, some really traumatic, hard times. And, you know, I know what it feels like to feel quite worthless and powerless and to feel quite rubbish about yourself, really. I know how that feels. And it's kind of my mission now to, I don't want anyone else to feel that way. So if I can do anything to help or inspire somebody, then I'm going to do it without a doubt. That's just, I feel like that's my purpose now. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm going to continue to do. So
that's wonderful. That's wonderful that you do. So what would be two things that you would tell your 18-year-old self if you had the chance?
To just keep going. And life, you know, life does get better. I went through quite a challenging time at 18. I had went through some really bad domestic violence, and I had my house set on fire. I actually lost everything. I had to start all over again. But I think it's these experiences that have made my recent decisions easier because, you know, I have had to start again a few times. So, and, it, you know, you become quite strong from things like that.
Yes.
But, you know, life was quite hard and it has been persistently quite hard, actually, until I kind of got more involved in healing myself and, like, you know, really thinking about how I set boundaries with people and who I allow into my life. And, you know, I've really had to be really thorough, go through a really thorough spiritual awakening, really. And it's only through doing that I've had more success and I've, you know, started to have a happy life.
So what are three things that you love to do every day? What gives you a great routine or start or end to the day?
We love having our kitchen parties. We like to put music on in the kitchen and have a little dance. And
oh, I love that.
Yeah, and have a little sing. So if ever I put music on, Antonia rushes through because she knows that she's my number one dance partner. So, yeah, so we love that. And that obviously gets the endorphins going, doesn't it? So,
yes.
So that's fantastic. I do practice Reiki quite a lot because I've been doing it now so long, it's only something that I have to do for a few minutes, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So if ever I feel like...
And perhaps for people that are listening who don't know what Reiki is, can you explain what that is?
So it's a way, it sounds a little bit hippie, it's a way to kind of balance your energies. It does sound a little bit hippie, but I also feel it's quite scientific because, you know, as human beings, our bodies conduct electricity. So it kind of makes sense. You know, if you're talking to a negative person, that can affect your energy, that affects your mood. If you encounter a negative situation, it can affect your mood and your energy.
Yes.
And when your energy is down, you know, everything's going to become a lot harder. Like even your movements might be slower. You know, cognitively, you're not going to be, you know, your brain's not going to be working as well. Emotionally, you know, you can be a little bit all over the place. So, you know, it's really good to be able to balance those. And what Reiki does is, the one that I do quite a lot is that you actually let go of things. So because I suffer with the PTSD, if I'm triggered and I'm taken back to those experiences with domestic violence or with any of the other traumas I've been through, I can literally just take in a breath, breathe out. And as I'm breathing out, just imagine that I'm letting it all go.
Yes.
And as you let it go, you can... You feel lighter. It's like you literally are taking the pressures off your shoulders. It feels quite physical. Like you feel it literally lifted. It's quite beautiful.
That's a wonderful sensation to be able to do for yourself.
It's fantastic. It really is. And, you know, I was introduced to it properly through... I actually went for my first session about 10 years ago with my grandma. My grandma took me, actually. I love my grandma. She's fantastic. She's a very strong lady and she's been a role model in my life. She was a single mom, actually, and she took herself to university and she got a law degree off her own back with two children. Gosh. So she's, you know, she's always been a fantastic role model in my life as a strong woman. But yeah, so a couple of years ago, I was introduced to a guy called Grenville Williams, and he has just been fantastic. I went before lockdown. I was going for regular sessions with him, and he's just fantastic at what he does. And so, you know, we had some really deep sessions, which have just felt completely different afterwards. It's actually a life changing experience. So, if you're listening and you've never tried it, it's worth trying. You really do need to try it because I feel like my hair growth and all these changes that I've been able to manifest in my life are through practicing Reiki and getting into a better mindset.
And because we haven't touched upon your hair growth, I mean, your hair growth is amazing. Didn't doctors say at one point it was alopecia and it was unlikely to grow back?
Yeah. If you've had over 80% loss, they do tell you that it's not likely to grow back at all. You know, I went through the emotions of accepting that and accepting that I could potentially be bald for the rest of my life. But then on the next hair cycle, because hair works in 3 month cycles, on the next hair cycle, it grew back and it continued to grow back.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So how much hair have you got now?
I've got a full head of hair and it's almost long enough to have a bob. So when we're allowed to have our hair cut again, we're going to have it cut into a nice bob.
That's fantastic.
Thick head of hair and there's no sections missing or it's actually come back better than it was before. So yeah, I'm really happy.
So what would you say your non-negotiables are as a mom and a businesswoman?
Oh gosh, it's a hard one. So as a mother, I'm very careful, obviously, who my children interact with, and you know, I want them to have empowered role models in their lives, and I want them to be around good people. And all I've ever really wanted is for them to be surrounded by happy people, you know, happy, laughing people that love them. So I'm quite strict nowadays with my boundaries and who I allow into our lives. So I'd say that's quite non-negotiable. If somebody's doesn't really fit into that, and there's somebody that's, you know, dead set on bringing us a lot of negativity, that's not somebody that I can have in my life. And I think it's same with business as well, actually. You know, it's very important who you work with, because, you know, you spend a lot of time with these people. And as a business owner, you do actually have the privilege to decide who you work with.
Yeah, so you want to keep that energy, those energy levels up.
Yeah.
And positive.
Yeah. Without that sounding toxic, because I think sometimes people say that and what they really mean is, if you're unhappy, I don't have time for you. But somebody can be unhappy, they can be depressed and still not be a toxic person. Do you see what I mean? So, you know, it's also our job as human beings to uplift others and to inspire others and to love them even when they can't love themselves. So I think it's about getting to know people and knowing who they are inside, and just being very careful who you allow in your life, really.
And what would be the one piece of advice you would give to other mums, especially single mums and working mums?
To decide what you want to do and decide what you want out of life. To write your goals down, definitely, because until you write them down, they're just dreams. Work out the steps, how to get to your goal, and just start making it happen. And even if it's just a small step every day, over a period of time, that really adds up, that really builds up. And after a while of just taking one small step every single day, you'll look back over your shoulder and you won't believe how far you've come. And I know that because that's what happened with us. You know, talking in hindsight about these achievements, they sound massive. They sound huge. They sound almost like, well, how could you do that? But it didn't feel like I was doing a big thing at the time. Every single day I was just taking a small step. And sometimes it was hard to take that step, but I did it. And we just kept going, just one small step after one small step. And eventually we got to where we wanted to be. So.
And that's wonderful. Well, it's fantastic to talk to you, Emily. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And I wish you every success in the future.
Thank you. It's been wonderful talking with you too.
Emily says that if someone had told her this would be her life now, a year ago, she wouldn't have believed them, because so much has happened. It's amazing what you can turn into reality when you set your mind to it. Emily really believes in a positive mindset and simply refuses to crumble, saying she's got her girls, so she just doesn't have that option. You can read Emily's full story on our Brummie Mummies Facebook page and on the Birmingham Live website. Brummie Mummies is a Laudable production brought to you by Brummie Mummies and Birmingham Live. You can download or stream the Brummie Mummies podcast on all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify and Apple. Be sure to follow our Brummie Mummies Facebook page for lots more family information and fun. And whilst there, sign up to our Brummie Mummies newsletter to make sure you never miss an episode. See you next time.